magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, July 17th, 2018. So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Here we are, another Tuesday, which means it's time to open up our books, Memories of an African Son. Oh, by the way, Jerry was in here the other day. Jerry purchased a book, so I have some more cash in the little container, Jerry. Over here. So, yeah, Jerry was in, and I thought he had already purchased a book, but that must have been somebody else.
Well, anyways, great. I appreciate it.
Jerry's volunteering, or Jerry said, you know, if you ever need some bookkeeping help.
Really?
He's an accountant. He works and travels towards Danville all the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you need somebody to look after those Prime Life Times papers periodically, he could always do some refills or something. So, yeah, Jerry's kind of in my back pocket of somebody to call in need when I have something to be attended to.
So,
today I think we're going to go through two or three chapters, more to come. Our Daily Bread, which is interesting because I just ordered some more copies of Our Daily Bread.
Right.
The full-size version, the one that's easier to see.
The large print, you mean?
Large print edition.
You know, I love large print books. It's so easy on the eyes. Sometimes I just go ahead and get that one at the library in a book. Just so easy.
Yep. That's the edition I have, right? Yep, that's the one that I use right here. I was telling her that I needed more copies because we blew through. I think I only ordered 50, and they've been out for a couple weeks, and I never got around to calling, but I said, can you send me 150 of the 90-day sampler? Mm-hmm. So I always have some in the back room in case we run out of the monthly edition.
That's so great. You hand those out
there. Yeah, we went through, I think, 50 in like a couple weeks. So it'll be a week or two till they come in. 50 more of the, I think they're July, August, September. Mm-hmm. And then 150 of the 90-day sampler. Anyways.
Well, you know, a lot of people read it. They really do.
Yeah, it's a great resource.
And see, I said it early that I'm look at large print books. That way, when I'm like 20 years from now, have to look at large books.
Yes.
Everybody will just say, she just done that for years.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't pay attention to that.
And then maybe, I don't know at this point if we'll get to a medical mission. But
probably not today.
Probably a couple chapters. Oh, I do want to point out many of our radio listening family members knew of Cindy White or knew her for many years from her trips to Israel or her husband Dan sang with the Singing Men of GNN. So she attended many of those events and volunteered with this radio ministry. And her husband Dan had supported us for many years. Mm. Well, her homegoing, she went to be with the Lord last Friday night. But this Friday night is the visitation. It's at Vineyard Church from 6 to 8. So 6 to 8 this Friday, and then the Saturday service to honor her, the memory of Cindy White, will be Saturday at Vineyard Church at 9:15 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I know many of you know Cindy. You're reminded of her many times when she'd laugh out loud.
You told me she had a great laugh.
Yeah, the whole room would fill up with her laughter.
Oh, great way to remember somebody.
Yeah, that and she loved the Lord, even though these last few years with her health issue and her health deteriorating, kept a positive spirit, kept praying that the Lord would heal her and sought after treatment. And I think for at least 2 or 3 years was looking for a kidney. But they had to have other things stabilized and in line. And I think there was a couple different times I got a call. She called me up and said, I'm on my way to Chicago to get my new kidney, you know. But
yeah.
I think by the time the kidney arrives and then they have to check it to see if it'll be a match, and sometimes it's not a match.
Oh my goodness.
I forget how that all worked, but I don't think she ever got to have the kidney surgery, but she's in a better place now, and we would encourage you, those that love Cindy or Dan and love that family, to show up either at the visitation this Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. at Vineyard Church, or Saturday at 9:15 for the service. It's always that happy, sad. Many times when we discuss this over the air with Jason, you know, being a pastor, he's dealt with this more than most all of us. And he said it's always that struggle of what do you say? Because for the Christian, it's a hope-filled message, and yet there's still that loss and that anguish and all those emotions that you want to deal with that you don't want to hide or bottle up. And yet there's also that victory and that future element that you'll see these people again, those of us that follow the Lord Jesus. And so it's kind of balancing the memories and the longing to still be with them, and yet the recognition that God's brought them come home.
And
they've served out their life. And when they finish well, it's always an added bonus, if you will, because they, you know, in their dying breath still said, Jesus is Lord. He's my Savior, and I'll see him soon.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite things at times like this is Squire Parsons' song when he sings Beulah Land, which is one of my favorites. And that line in there that says, I'm homesick for a land I've never seen. Mm. I love that. It just says it all, sort of.
Sweet Beulah Land.
Sweet Beulah Land.
Amen. Oh, hey, Marianne, before we jump into more to come, how about praying up our program?
Okay.
And including those that are maybe traveling to work, maybe some with heavy hearts, maybe some that you would say happen chance, I would call it God's providence, are tuned in maybe for the first time, have never listened to Christian radio, or for that matter, what is Christian radio, but those that are maybe not in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, those that haven't come to terms with knowing that God loves and cares for them. Mm-hmm. And then for the senior saint that's tuned in, that's kind of excited to hear your next reading because they've been tuned in and love the Lord and want to grow through what's said and shared today.
All right. Thank you.
A little bit of a tall order, huh?
Well, that's a lot of praying. I feel like you're already into the praying. Yeah. That's great. Oh, dear God in heaven, we thank you that you're with us here on earth. Mm. We thank you that your presence is with us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us and upon every person listening. Mm. Dear listener, I pray that the Holy Spirit would fall upon you. God, we thank you for your people. And we thank you for all people. Mm. Lord, we pray that this world that we live in would see revival. Mm. And it would see an outpouring of your presence. Lord, I pray that things would begin to happen in so many places that we can't even know to pray about. Mm. We just pray that your witness would go out upon this earth. And we pray for, as Mark said, people in all different places right now, the senior saint, the young person, the person who's happy, the person who's sad, the person who's distressed, the person who feels hopeless, the person who feels hopeful. Mm. We pray for them all. Lord, I pray that you would be strong. Strong, powerful. We would see your power. We would see your glory. We would see you act. You are a God of action. Lord, I remember that scripture that you say, at some point in history, you said, there was no one to do my work, but my arm, the arm of God, was not shortened. I did it. We pray right now that you would act on behalf of your people. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, speaking of strong and power, the signal of 89.3, I don't know if any of you have noticed it. It's a little stronger and a little more powerful.
You were out there working on it.
On Sunday, I had to finally attend to it, and I got a power supply ordered. Basically, the transmitter's not been at full power for a while, and there were different things going on. I was telling you, like this motherboard and some other circuitry stuff, and it would be full power, then not full power, and it was affecting these other elements of the transmitter. And so I finally went out there Sunday saying, I got to figure this out or get it resolved or have the expert come in and pay the big bucks. And some of the things that I had noticed that had been issues in the past seemingly had been resolved. And I don't know if God did a supernatural thing or something fixed itself or something shook hands and they're all in agreement.
Your eyes kind of lit up when you were telling it. You were like, hey, wait a minute. This is working.
It's like, and so then I messed with a couple of the components. So I got one issue resolved, and that gets kind of technical, but I think I got that resolved. Now I just need to get it at full power because it's at about 70% power now. And so I have this power supply ordered. It was showing that it was faulting, that there was a light, so it has to be replaced. So hopefully, maybe later this week, we'll see if by Friday or the first part of next week, that we'll be back up to full power. So some of you may be on the outlying areas that say, you know, my signal's been a little marginal or it hasn't been as clear as usual. That'll be improved.
Great.
But also recognizing that this is the month with all the leaves on the trees and all the inclement weather and weather fronts coming in. Humidity really high or low. Sometimes that affects the signal too. And so the really the fall and the winter time is the best time where our signal goes out the farthest.
Interesting.
But
you remind me of that Sprint or Verizon commercial. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
And the guy walks for, can you hear me now?
Yeah, can you hear me now? So hopefully by week's end, you'll know a little bit of an improvement. And hopefully as God continues to provide that frequency for all of you, that you'll keep praying it up and supporting it and making sure that it'll reach all those households that God wants it to be in, and those cars and trucks and those traveling through. So it'll be divine appointments. And if you're tuned in for the first time today, we welcome you to the Ministry of Great News Radio.
Isn't that something that this is all going out over frequencies and radio
it's
bandwidth?
Like invisible, and yet people will say all the time.
You're real, aren't you, Mark?
Yes, we are a figment. We are just voices.
Oh, we are not. Yes. We're sitting right here.
We are voices. So.
That's awesome.
More to come. As we mentioned last week, Tuesday's our practice of reading chapters out of Memories of an African Son by Marianne Simpkins. She's the author. She's the one that's written this, and these are experiences from her past. And we always do pray beforehand that something that's said or shared or illustrated or referenced will not only provide hope or a point of application or a point of conviction. Maybe you're praying about something and then you get an answer through what's read, but that God's glorified through this.
Praise
and
God.
And that his people are nurtured or encouraged or blessed as a result of something that's said. Maybe it's even just a verse that she references and ties this whole chapter kind of as a benchmark of, this is how I interpret this verse, and this is the story that goes with it, and this is how we see God at work. So I don't know. I hope that you'll glean something from what's said and shared.
Thank you. Chapter 6, More to Come. On my first morning on our mission station, my father had gone off walking down a dirt road with some men to tour the station. My mother and I were in the front room of the stone and brick house at the top of the hill with the family we were to stay with for a while. The house was surrounded with breezy wooden verandas and walkways, and the room we were in had long windows and a rustic stone fireplace. People were stopping by that morning to greet us, the same ones who had been waiting for us on a large stone terrace when we arrived the afternoon before were now making their way up the hill to greet us again. Suddenly, two young boys came racing in, breathless. A long, dangerous python had just been seen lying on the path outside the house, heading straight toward the foundations on the dirt path beside what would, a year later, be my own bedroom in that house. Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
Uh-huh. Our hostess jumped up, and the next thing I knew, she was standing in front of the fireplace with rifle in hand. With one swift action, she loaded it, walked outside, my mother and I behind her, and took aim. She blew that snake apart in one masterful move. Direct aim, direct hit. It lay motionless, blown in half, on either side of the path. She turned, went back in, put the rifle back in its place, and asked a couple children to go out gather the two halves of the snake and dispose of it. Then she proceeded to make tea for the group.
Oh, that's an everyday occurrence in my family, right?
I was in shock. It was the Wild West and something else, something I did not know the name for, all rolled into one. Mm. What I experienced that morning was the tip of an iceberg, a large one. After watching this event unfold suddenly before my eyes, I could only wonder what else was ahead. Mm. And there was so much more to come. I would ride through the bush in Land Rovers, with no roads, not even dirt ones, to guide us. I would be chased by a troop of wild baboons, running as fast as I could. I would learn to carefully check my shoes for scorpions each morning, and sleep with dangerous spiders under my bed. I would be surrounded, alone, in the middle of a herd of wild hippos on the Zambezi River. I would stand in waist-high golden elephant grass as it swayed in the wind, knowing that lions could be somewhere nearby. Hmm. The wild part of Africa that I had landed in would become a massive adventure, an unheralded, unsought adventure of magnificent proportions. Hmm. I didn't know any of that then, that first morning, I only knew that at this station, we apparently kept a long rifle someplace and took it out to blow apart large and dangerous snakes, and that the lady in front of me, who seemed somewhat motherly, was also a crack shot. It was enough for that 1 hour. The next hour would hold its own new thought, like the discovery that due to drought, we were not to always have running water. And the next hour...
dot, dot, dot.
I sometimes think that God doesn't show us everything to come because it would be hard for us to handle. People generally make that statement in a fatalistic way, thinking that the negative would be hard to handle, and that can be true, but the positive would be too. It's because we are creatures, like all beings on this planet, like the birds, like the animals, creatures who must walk through time, who must gather for this day, who must eat and work during this week, no matter what is to come, good or bad. We live in the present tense. So there I sat, in front of a stone fireplace, with what seemed to me like a still-smoking gun in the house, and through the open doors to my side, a morning sun rose over a savanna that was mildly terrifying in its expanse. But what I also knew was ahead on that first morning was that I was with people who cared about me, that I had two parents who would literally have died for their children, if need be. And I was one of those children. This new place around me did not appear safe. Not to me, anyway. And yet, there was safety. All I had to do was look at the faces of those gathered in that room, strangers for the moment, but the community and the companionship in their faces was palpable, even then. And maybe this is what we most need to face the future. Hope and community. Hope that we do have a God who cares about us, was willing to die for us, and has not forgotten us, even in a strange land. And community. The people who are in it with us, who care in ways that matter, not just in words. Because there's always more to come. Even when we die, more to come forever. God, I thank you that there is more to come. I thank you that through all of it, you'll be there with us. We've not been forgotten here, though at times we feel it. Give us the ability to stay in our present without needing to know every single step that is ahead, because we already know what is most important, that you are there.
Amen and amen.
Okay, chapter 7, Our Daily Bread. Later that morning, that's the same morning as the last chapter, I wandered into the kitchen, still suffering from my fitful night of sleeplessness, and happened upon an interesting scene in progress. My mother and our missionary hostess, the one who had shot the rifle earlier that morning, were engaged in an unusual drama that I watched with great and horrified interest. I so didn't want you to see this yet, Mary, the woman was explaining kindly to my mother. Not on your first day. I meant to have this done before you came in this morning. My mother was staring strangely at the sifter in the woman's hands. She had been sifting flour from a big bin, and there were small bugs crawling around in the sifter. Weevils. My mother's eyes locked with the other woman's. I looked back and forth between them. I could only hope this meant we were leaving to go home, as this venture was clearly not going to work out. They go in the bin every night, the woman continued, and my eyes grew even wider. The kitchen was a buzz of activity, the already hot sun streaming through the back door. There's really nothing we can do. We've tried everything, so we just carefully sift each morning before we make the day's bread. Her voice drifted off. I have no idea what transpired as the discussion continued. I only thought two things as I stood there in that hot kitchen. One, I wondered if we could somehow still back out of this endeavor. And two, as I looked at her standing there, I realized that my mother must be a brave woman. I felt a strange security being near her right then. Somehow, her stoic acceptance of this Yet another of many strange new facts out in the middle of nowhere made it seem clear that we would survive. My mother continued asking questions, questions I did not want to know the answers to. And their voices faded behind me as I wandered on to see what other surprises the house might hold. I have a great number of stories like that about food, but they not only don't tell the whole story, they don't tell the real story. The food I ate at that mission station was healthier, as it turned out, than what many of my peers in America were downing at the same time. There were few snack foods available to me. No Twinkies, no processed foods. There was no fast food hamburgers and no candy shops.
No fast food, period.
I know.
It took a while to cook and make.
Yeah, really. That's true. That's funny. Much of what we ate, we made, like the bread with the weevils sifted out, or what was grown, such as vegetables from our gardens, and fruits from the trees around us, like guava and mangoes. The women on that mission station also often put their heads together and produced magnificent potlucks for us all. And on Sundays after church, we had afternoon tea together as a group. On the reserve, there was a small brick building where sacks of maize, soap bars, kerosene, sardines, matches, tea bags, and the occasional sweets were sold by an enterprising young man. He had gained governmental approval, along with approval from a local chief, to have his little one-room store, and it was helpful to us more than once. He got the burlap sacks filled with maize from the government marketing board in charge of such things. The grain bags had apparently been allocated for the people on the reserve. Someone had donated money for a pickup truck for our Mission Bible College, and every couple of weeks our driver made the long trip to the nearest town, Fort Victoria, and brought back canned goods, some bakery items, milk, and some meat. And when we made the trip into town ourselves, we would bring back the same. There was also one small restaurant there that I so liked to go to. There was only one brand of chocolate bar that I knew of in the town, and sometimes I bought that. One of the strangest things in life is that sometimes it is the absence of the very thing we think we are missing out on that ends up saving us. So many days I went out in the late afternoon to pick myself a guava in the small orchard at the side of our yard. I climbed up to a tree branch, picked the fruit, and ate it in the faltering late afternoon sun. I had no idea at the time that I was being saved from a possible addiction to junk food, because at that time I didn't understand the perils of it. I think back on those days at times, and I can still see my hand reaching up for that fruit. There was something strangely idyllic about it. Whatever I missed by not being in on the newly burgeoning junk food craze at home, I made up for each and every day as I reached up my hand to that healthy alternative, my only alternative at the time. I wonder if life with God is like that sometimes. We can look around and see what we are missing in the way of sin or unhealthy lifestyles, yet we reach up our hand over and over for the good, for the healthy, for what God has said. And not at first, perhaps, but over time, we find that the good has become more powerful, that it has helped us in ways we might never have guessed, until finally it's what we want. I instruct you in the way of wisdom, says Proverbs 4:11, and lead you along straight paths. Sometimes we despair while on that path. We want what is not good for us. But over the long haul, what is truly not good for us, whether unhealthy, useless food, or any other unhealthy thing, never seems to serve us well in the end. It's easier when the sin or the unhealthy choice is simply not available, as was true in my case back then. But even when it is, and we feel we are missing out, the power of habit still wields its magic. Every day that we choose what is best for us is a day we are training ourselves. I can guarantee you that freshly made bread, whether weevils had also once enjoyed the flour or not, and freshly picked guavas and mangoes are better than chemical-filled food and candy. I didn't know that then, when I didn't even have very much in the way of candy, well-made or otherwise. Isn't it odd somehow that I had to go to the heart of Africa to be safe from a world of sugar-laden empty food? Father, I pray for the empowerment to choose what is good and what is best for me, not what is just easiest or seems appealing at the moment. Protect me from myself when I seem to gravitate toward the lowest common denominator. Instead of allowing myself to be taught in your way of wisdom, let me be a light to those around me, a light that shows a path to physical, spiritual, and emotional health, and provide for me those who can shine that light for me, too, in areas that I'm weak.
Amen and amen. We got two prayers out of you today.
Yeah, hey.
You opened us up and closed us out.
That's true.
We
got to
go. SR News.
Yeah, we do.
Won't
yeah,
wait.
We do.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Pick up your copies of Memories of an African Son online. Google it or just stop by the Great News Radio Center. You can pick up a copy here. It's by Marianne Simpkins, Memories of an African Son. We'll continue to read on upcoming Tuesdays. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.